Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this fifth Sunday of Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. Mark and reflect on the Word of Life for February. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
A Marian pilgrimage is set for July 7th through 16th, and you can be a part of it. You will fly to Paris and Pau. Visit the Marian shrines of Fatima, Lourdes, and Portugal. Spiritual director for the trip will be Father Angel Montano of Sacred Heart Church. You'll depart Corpus Christi on July 7th and return on July 16th. For complete details, call Sacred Heart Catholic Church office, 883-6082.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Well, our gospel today is from St. Mark, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word this morning.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and held her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose I have come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here we are with the first week of the first Sunday of February, and as has been our tradition really for the last several months, we are going to read the Word of Life for February. And as I've mentioned to you before, there's a trend with all of these. The Word of Life always seems to follow one of the Gospels that we just read a couple of weeks ago.
Right, and that's true. And it's also going to be coming up for Lent. So it's a time for us to prepare also for Lent and for the great celebration of Easter, which is still a few months away.
Right. But not far, though.
We still need to prepare for it. I would just like to kind of remind us of last month's Word of Life, which was that if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at God's right hand. And in the commentary, Kara Lubick told us to kind of look for the presence of Christ in our neighbor. So I don't know about you, but it's been kind of an interesting time to seek what is above, which means really go beyond the situation, not to ignore it. We have to live in this world. We're not angels. But you know, in those moments that are kind of tight or difficult, is to see that person in front of you as another Christ, whatever you've done, the least you've done to me. So I hope that's been fruitful and for everyone throughout the listening area, that they've had a chance to put all that into practice and have received the fruits of the word of lived. So let's look at February's Word of Life then, which is very simple to remember and kind of hang on to. Repent and believe in the gospel. In Mark's gospel, Jesus begins his announcement to the world. His message of salvation with these words, "This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The coming of Jesus marks the beginning of a new era, an era of grace and salvation. His first words are an invitation to embrace this great challenge, this reality of the kingdom of God that he brings within reach for all people, close to every person, and immediately indicates the way, repent and believe in the gospel. That is, radically change your life and accept the word that God, in and through Jesus, is addressing to humanity at all times. Repentance and faith must go hand in hand. There cannot be one without the other. Rather, both spring forth from contact with the living Word, from the presence of Jesus, who today, too, repeats to the crowds, repent and believe in the gospel. The Word of God accepted and lived brings about a complete change of mentality, that is, repentance. Christ's sentiments, as they relate to circumstances, individuals, and society, become instilled in the hearts of all, Europeans, Asians, Australians, Americans, Africans. But how can the gospel work the miracle of profound conversion, giving us a new and vibrant faith? The secret lies in the words of Jesus and the mystery they hold. They are not simple exhortations, suggestions, indications, directives, orders, or commands. Jesus himself is present in his words to us. His words are Jesus himself. So it is possible to find Jesus in his word. And by welcoming the word into our hearts as he wants it to be welcomed, that is, ready to translate it into life, we are one with him, and he is born and grows within us. This is why each one of us can and must welcome this pressing and demanding invitation of Jesus. Repent and believe in the gospel. Some people might consider the words of the gospel to be too lofty, too out of touch and difficult, too distant from our common way of thinking and living. They might feel tempted to close themselves off from these words and get discouraged. But this can only happen if they intend to move this mountain of disbelief on their own. Instead, living just one word of the gospel is enough to experience unexpected help, unique strength, a light for our path, precisely because each word of the gospel is a presence of God. Connecting with it makes people free, purifies, converts, brings comfort and joy, and gives wisdom. Again, repeating, repent and believe in the gospel. How often these words can be light for us during our day. Every time we run up against our own weakness or that of others, every time following Jesus seems to be impossible or absurd, every time problems threaten to overcome us, these words can give us wings. They can be like a breath of fresh air, a stimulus to begin anew. A small, quick change of course would be enough to emerge from the limits of our ego and open ourselves up to God and experience another life, which is the true one. Moreover, if we are able to share this experience with friends whose code of life is the gospel, we will see the Christian community blossoming or reblossoming around us. The Word of God lived out and communicated works this miracle too. It gives rise to a visible community that becomes yeast and salt for society, bearing witness to Christ in every corner of the globe. Written by Kara Lubick.
Well, Bishop, as we've been reading these over the past several months, and I'm looking at them with you, you really have to take each paragraph and really kind of pull it apart and, you know, look at it, because she has such a beautiful way of writing, but a little bit of it's over my head. And so yeah. I need to kind of decipher it and look at it and really think about it a lot.
Sure. Well, I mean, first, just structurally, I can tell you, because I know that the first part of it will always be like an exegesis of, which is kind of an explanation of the words. So the first part's always going to be a little bit theological, and then Then there'll be a principle of spirituality. And then finally, it's how to live this. So that's kind of the way that these are structured, which I think are very important that we get that tradition and magisterial and scriptural part that I talked about last week in that first section of these commentaries so that we're well-grounded.
Right.
And then, you know, kind of starting to apply it to life spiritually, but also very practically toward the end, kind of giving us instructions how to do it. So I would suggest to everyone, you know, this can be material for our meditation, to take a paragraph, two paragraphs of the commentary and just spend a little time with it and let it kind of sink in, absorb it, and that's how we re-evangelize ourselves. The whole point of using these is to re-evangelize ourselves first. As we know, as we look at the new evangelization that I spoke of during the ministry conference that we had had a few weeks ago, we spoke of a re-evangelization, but also beginning with ourselves. And that is my proposal here, is that each one of us take these, spend time with them, and, you know, let them sink in so that we take on, as she says in the commentary here, that we take on the mentality of the gospel, the mentality of Christ. And that's how we really become true evangelizers of each other, when we have that mentality, that sentiment, the attitude of Christ.
And we're going to talk about this further after our break, but this is a great way for us, when we talk about that silence that we need to have something in front of us to really start to reflect on.
Right.
You know, if we don't know what to pick up, this would be a wonderful thing to start with this month.
All month could be used.
Exactly.
And because it's so, the Word of God, of course, is active and alive, and it's you read something, the same paragraph one day and the same paragraph the next day, and you get something else out of it that's new. So I really encourage everyone to use it. And I think we can print it off the website, and it's available. So
for everyone,
I encourage you to use it.
Yeah. All right. We are going to take a short break, and then we will come back and talk about the Word of Life for February. Please stay with us.
Valentine's Day, February 14th, is on a Saturday this year, and the Knights of Columbus at Our Lady of Guadalupe Council, number 15828, invite you to their annual Valentine's Dinner Dance at the St. Teresa Parish Hall, 1302 Lantana in Corpus Christi. Your evening will begin with dinner at 7, followed by a silent auction, and from 8 till midnight, you can dance the night away with your sweetheart. What a great evening it will be. For tickets and more information, call Sam Armadillo at 361-510-1630.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, you had read the Word of Life for February, and it was from Mark's Gospel, Repent and Believe in the Gospel. Of course, a little bit of context. This was after one of Mark's chapters, after John the Baptist had been arrested and Jesus came into the temple. Mm-hmm. And this was just kind of a new way of his truth
that
he was announcing to the group.
Right. And Jesus is emerging from the desert where he was tempted by the devil. And so as he begins his proclamation of the good news of the kingdom of God, he starts off that the way is repent and believe in the good news, repent and believe in the gospel. It's also the words that we will use for Ash Wednesday, turn away from sin and believe in the gospel. So it's a basic proclamation for all of us. As we talked about last week in the baptismal promises that we make ourselves, that we renew every Easter, and that the parents, if they're baptizing an infant, speak for the child, is that dual motion, turn away from, repent, and believe. So she points out very well in this commentary here that repentance and faith must go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. That's where we live kind of in the neutral zone, if we do, in our faith life.
True.
If I haven't repented or turned away from, moved away from, renounced the negative side, then I can't move into the other side fully. So we play both. And I think this is unfortunately where sometimes our faith is very tepid. We're neither this nor that. And
And we need to make a choice.
We have to make a choice. You know, you cannot serve both God and mammon. And that's the that's where Jesus, I mean, you can play this out throughout the entire gospel, that whoever doesn't leave mother and father and brother and sister, not that those are evil things, but I mean, there's an attachment there that we have to renounce, in the sense of not being our major focus, our main focus, but it's Christ. But also Jesus said that I've come to bring division, you know, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, son against father and mother-in-law and against daughter-in-law, and because there is a choice involved. And I think that's the main point here, that there is a choice that we have in following Christ, in living our faith, that you can't do one unless you have made that choice to put behind, because we are still human beings that are tempted. We are of a fallen nature, right, coming from that life of Adam, of sin, and there is that tendency to always go backwards. So we have to constantly continue to make that choice to repent and believe. And it's a dual motion, okay, that, as she says, go hand in hand. And that we can't have one without the other.
Well, and then it was interesting how, you know, she says in the second part, as you mentioned, which is kind of the principal piece, the gospel works the miracle of profound conversion, giving us a new and vibrant faith. And she asks that as a question, how can it do that? And it lies in the words of Jesus and the mystery they hold, that Jesus is present in his words to us, and his words are Jesus himself. So when we think about that, I mean, there's no debating who's writing those words.
Right, yeah.
And where they came from.
Exactly. And then she also says there that, you know, that when we apply the word to our life and we apply it to all situations, we begin to take on a new mentality, a change of mentality. You know, the mentality of God is in the Old Testament, I think it's the book of Jeremiah, the prophet of Jeremiah, I'm not sure, I think so. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So there is a contrast. I mean, we're talking about God's life and human life. And Jesus brings those two together in himself. So to live his words then is to gradually change that mentality, that way of being that is a part of all of us. You know, this is where we oftentimes see that conversions become so strong in people's lives when they really, I mean, in some circles it would say hit the bottom, you know, when they become so immersed in something and they just see the lies, the fallacy of living a life of sin. And then they maybe go to the other extreme and it's all God talk, you know, and,
right,
and that's understandable. But at a certain point, our life has to be totally focused in Christ, in God. And that propensity to continue sinning was always going to be there, I mean, in all of our lives. And so these words are, these are not dead words. These are words for each one of us. Repent and believe in the gospel. I think one of the interesting things in the commentary is some of the applications that we get there, because some of us may think that, well, repentance means, you know, going to confession. It means confessing my sins, which it does.
A couple of times a year, and that's it.
But it's really a daily practice.
Right.
Because it's a daily commitment that each one of us has to make. It's not something that's a once and for lifetime all. It's something that we have to invest ourselves totally into. It could be that as she's saying here, that it's maybe a time when we're feeling tempted by whatever. Everybody has their own temptations, but it's in those moments of temptation that those words become alive. Repent, mm-hmm, or turn away, mm-hmm, deny, and believe in the gospel. So it's a constant call and a challenge. Or maybe we've made a mistake. Maybe we've failed in something and we get discouraged. And all those things kind of drag us down. Repent and believe in the gospel. Pick ourselves up and start over again, that we don't have enough strength or that we don't have whatever that we need.
You know, I think of when you were talking about temptation, and it doesn't have to, in my mind, the way I look at it, it doesn't have to be this huge, big, horrible temptation, but it can be someone is saying something to you or there's a comment about somebody and you have this thought in your mind that you want to say something and then stopping and saying, but that would hurt that person,
right,
or it would hurt the other person. Why it doesn't even need to be said. and just stepping back and not even saying it, because it doesn't add any value to the conversation.
That's true, and that's another part of this, which you bring out so well, is that it's not just about my own personal asceticism, you know, of repenting and believing in the good news by myself. But most, at least in my experience, a lot of it, as you say, comes up when you're with someone else. Let's just face it, we can all do things better than anyone else.
Of course
you
we
know,
can.
Of course we
my can. My way's better than your way.
All right. And, you know, my so there is that point of those kinds of temptations to turn away from that kind of a mentality. That's the old mentality.
Exactly.
That's not the mentality of the gospel. But to love our neighbor as ourselves. Efficiency, you know, I am the most efficient person in the world, you know, we all think. And so somebody else, we give them a task, they don't do it as fast enough, they don't do it the way we want to do it, and then we get impatient, and it just grows. And so a lot of times I think that much of our sin is in relation to one another.
Exactly.
Certainly God and our neighbor. We forget God, we turn away, that's sin, but also then with our neighbor as well is the second area that that we want to take over. We want to, as you say things or have an attitude towards someone which makes them feel less, you know, than me. That is a moment of repent and believe right. in the good news. Whatever you do, the least you've done to me, or any of the other things that the gospel tells us, which brings about a new attitude.
These everyday.
It's a renewal.
Right. Everyday things that we go through in our daily lives. So it doesn't have to be big, like not robbing a bank or, you know, it's the small things, the interactions with
right.
people.
Right.
And within ourselves.
I think with that being said, I mean, you can understand here where she says about halfway down, says, these words are not simply exhortations, suggestions, indications, directives, orders, or commands, but to live those words of Christ is Christ himself. That's where the new mentality comes in, because we're inviting Christ into our life through his word. By living them out, he is present to us, and we are present to him. It's what, as I've said oftentimes, it's what St. John calls abiding in my word, staying in my word, living in my word, just as we do for the moments that we are at Mass and receive Eucharist. We are abiding in him through his presence in the Eucharist. And his word is also his presence, which the Church affirms and has always been a belief of the Church. And so letting these words live in us gives us that moment of abiding, and not just leaving them as a simple suggestion, but it's how we change our life, change ourselves, our mentality.
So, and she says at the very end, you know, a small, quick change of course would be enough to emerge from the limits of our ego. I like mm-hmm. that how mm-hmm. she used that word ego, and open ourselves up to God and experience another life, the true one.
Right, and that's where you see the fruits that are spoken of, you know, here at one point, that the word of God frees us. It frees us from that ego, frees us from that old mentality and way of doing things, frees us to laugh at ourselves. I mean,
right.
there's so many implications to that.
Right.
It purifies us from the old mentality, from mm-hmm. The drudgery of life, from our own selves. It converts us. It makes us really, convert our mentality to the mentality of Christ. It's comforting.
It's like looking at the best of every situation.
Yeah, and it brings wisdom. I like that last mm-hmm. one, that it really gives us wisdom. And if there's anything that our world needs, it's wisdom.
Yes, for all of us. So to let our viewers know, they can find this at focolare.us. That's F-O-C-O-L-A-R-E. That's F-O-C-O-L-A-R-E.us.
That's if they want to print it out.
If they want to print it out.
Right.
If they want to print it out. If not, they can download the podcast.
Also have it on podcasts and all sorts of ways.
Yep, on this radio station.
So let's live this month, February, with repent and believe in the gospel.
Yeah, and take it with us and reflect over it daily. Bishop, if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing for us, please.
Sure. Let us pray. Keep your family safe, O Lord, with unfailing care, that, relying solely on the hope of heavenly grace, they may be defended always by your protection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for joining us this morning. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.